Let's just remember those unspoken requests because they mean so much. They're personal and people don't want to say them out loud. But just remember those people that have unspoken. There's a good list of them here on our sheet. So with that being said, talk with the folks. I've not seen Preacher Lastly personal, but the folks that are seeing him are saying that he has the good days and the bad days, and that he's not really made any great progress, but he's not gotten any worse. And so we don't only need to pray for him, but we need to pray for Ms. Lastly. She is having a rough time getting over there and back most every day, and so you know, it's hard on her. And not that I'm aware of, sir. Yeah, as far as I know, no. But if anyone knows anything different than what I've said, could you share it with us? Okay. So let's just remember Preacher Miss Lastly. Pray that God will give their family direction on how they need to go and face this situation. Also, Brother Hoppy Brown was in the hospital earlier this week, and I don't know if he's still there, but he was having tests run, and he's home? Okay, so he's home now. All right. So we've got a lot of folks. I know we're missing Miss Larkey this morning, not seeing her or Mark, and I guess it's the weather, but there's a lot of other folks that are not here. And let's just pray for them. This weather is very, very hard on people that have issues, health problems, and things like that. So I was talking with one this morning, and we are so blessed to have our brothers and sisters pray for us. I mean, just we don't know. There's lots of times that people are praying for us, and we don't even know about it. And, you know, God hears those prayers, and he honors those prayers. So let's remember the shut-ins and all of the cancer people. And I pray, you know, for them daily. And I would hope that you do, too. We see some of them, but some of them we don't see. And just remember them in prayer. Okay, for tonight, we're going to have a commissioning service for Madison Brown at 6:30, Lord willing, and then a reception in the Family Life Center following that. So y'all pray for that service tonight. And Miss Maddie will be heading off to South Africa. And just remember her as she goes. And this is one of our own here out of our church that's going to the ministry field out there in missionary work, and let's remember to pray for her. And Brother Marty, I talked with him, and he said that Summer did get back safely to the mission field, and she hit the ground running. So that's Summer, and we're just so glad for that. Also, let's remember in the bulletin, you'll notice that Bobby Brown is going to start a discovery class on next week, next Sunday morning, January 26th. It'll be at 10 a.m. downstairs while the normal classes are going on. If you're interested in that in any way, please sign up out in the foyer out there. And then on the p.m. class on Sunday the 26th, we will be having Chris Bean here with us. He's from the United Kingdom, and y'all be praying about that and pray that God will give him safety and everything to be here. And then we just want to think about these folks that's got a year older this week, and I know a lot of them are not here, but I'm going to call names out anyway, okay? We had Denisha DeGroat on week before last, and she's not here either. She wasn't then. But also Ron Huskins, who a lot of y'all may not know, a lot of you do, but they have been out of church now for about a year, close to a year. And he and his wife Wanda are really having some tough physical issues, and so remember them in prayer. But Ron, he had a birthday on the 13th, and also Mr. Larry Trent had one on the 13th. And so happy birthday to you, Larry. Darren Briggs had one on the 17th. Happy birthday. Okay. All right. Harold Baskett, who's over there in the hospital, he had one on the 18th. And so Joe Shaw, talked with Joe this morning, he's not feeling well, so he had to leave and go back home. But he has one coming up on the 20th this week. So happy birthday to all these people. We thank God for them and praise his name. So any prayer requests this morning that you want to share with the class by uplifted hand? Anybody? Yes, ma'am. Okay, wow, Tuesday. So that's going to be a big day. Starting a new day and going to have a baby. That's so great. Okay. Pray for that for Miss Nancy. Anyone else? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and God for your love for us. And God, I'm so happy for John 3:16, Lord. Because you loved us so much, you sent Jesus here to die for our sins. And with his blood, go to the cross, shed for us. And then he arose that third day after that, Lord, victorious over death. Thank you, dear Lord, that we have a pathway, dear God, to heaven. God, for eternal life, we thank you for that. And Father, I pray that for these today that we've mentioned their names, Harold Baskett, Hoppy Brown, others, dear Lord, that are having physical issues, things that they're dealing with, some of them long-term, some of them, dear Lord, that are short-term. But Lord, we just pray for them this morning, pray that your hand would be upon them and God, that you would have your will and way in their lives. And Lord, we would be very happy to see them back in our midst soon. Lord, I pray for Brother Philip this morning. God, as he comes and gives us a message that you have him give us. And Lord, I pray you'll bless him and praise to your name for what he'll do. Lord, also the morning service. Lord, I pray that you'll give Pastor the message you'd have us to have. And Lord, may we leave today taking these things to make our life better, dear God, more, that we can glorify you and live for you. And Father, we just thank you again for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In the matter of praying for each other, I was struggling with my lesson and with what we're going to talk about. And you can turn to Revelation chapter 3 and we'll look in verse 17 and 18 again. And just praying and thinking all week. And I just didn't know what to do or how to put it together. And then Saturday morning, it started to click. And then I got a text from our pastor. And he said, I wanted to let you know I was praying for you this morning. And that's when the Lord finally gave me peace. And I felt like this is how I needed to go. And so, yes, prayer is very effective. I mean, we don't know. We just need to pray for folks. And I was struggling for probably 2 weeks, as a matter of fact. We didn't have our class last week, and I was kind of glad because it was like, I don't know what to do with this. And so anyway, praise the Lord for people praying for each other. And Brother Harold, by the way, they're thinking of putting a feeding tube down his nose, a nasogastric tube, which isn't pleasant. They couldn't believe he's not even dehydrated. He has not eaten or drunk anything. Let's see, it was Saturday. He said since Monday, so close to a week. And I thought, how in the world do you do that? And he's not even dehydrated. I thought, you know, I would see IV saline in his arm. Didn't have it. And they didn't believe him that he couldn't swallow. So they made him drink something. This is what he told me. They made him drink something, and he gagged so bad. They said, okay, we believe you now. But they couldn't believe it because his symptoms aren't consistent with what's going on in his body. So the doctors really need wisdom here. The MRI showed no. They thought he might have had a stroke. The MRI showed no stroke. They ran a tube down his throat, the GI doc, and he was waiting for the results of that when I was there. And so it's just a huge mystery what's going on with the dear man, but he's got to have nourishment eventually. So they just need wisdom about that. Anyway, he was in good spirits and got to meet some of his family. So anyway, we miss him. And we missed you too, Brother Philip. While you were gone, we did note that you were not among us, and others that are not here with us too. Okay, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17, I'll start there. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. No, let me start back. Verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So two weeks ago, we were talking about the curse causeless shall not come. If there's a curse in our life, it's because we, like that bird, as the bird wandereth and as the swallow flies, so the curse causeless shall not come. If we are suffering in that sense, it's because we did something. Amen. We made steps and made decisions that have brought that upon us. The curse causeless shall not come. And so we saw that curse, and we read it here again in verse number 17. And they are wretched, and they are miserable, and they are poor, and they are blind, and they are naked. Last week we looked at Samson and as an illustration of this. And so they've made a sad mess of their life, haven't they? It's just terrible to see Christians that are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And all these things have come upon them because of decisions that they made. And it's just a sad mess. But God still wants to help them. Amen? Which is quite amazing. And he says in verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold. One of the attributes of our Savior in Isaiah 9 and 6, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. The Spirit that's upon him, as prophesied in chapter 11, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might. This, by the way, if you ever wanted to know, is one of the means of grace, counsel. David said in Psalm 73 and verse 24, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." What we see here is a progression of God's working in our life. We have first counsel, where God wants to talk to us and tell us his way. Now, we're not going to look at it today, but if you go straight from "I counsel thee" to verse 19, because the counsel is to do all these things, to get gold, to get raiment, to get eye salve. But if you take those things and move them out of the way for just a second, you go from "I counsel thee, and as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." So what we have here is a progression of how God deals with our life. He wants to talk with us. Amen? That still small voice, and he wants us to listen to that. But if we will not listen to that, then the rebuke comes. If we will not listen to rebuke, then the chastening comes. So God here deals with us in a very specific way. And we see this same thing in Proverbs, "But ye have set at naught all my counsel." So they didn't want his counsel. "And would none of my reproof." So they would not listen to his reproof. "I will also laugh at your calamity, and I will mock when your fear cometh." So here is the chastenment that must come upon them. And sometimes, as we see in Judges, they return, they listen to his voice, they hear it, they obey, they start to do right, and then they fall away again, and then God sends a prophet to rebuke them for their sin. They don't hear it, and then what happens? He brings the lost to chasten them. And so this is the way God deals with us. Now, we must listen. If you recall, and if you go down to verse 22, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." In these two chapters, that phrase is mentioned 7 times. Every church got that admonition. Now, if God says anything, we should pay attention. Amen? Absolutely. If he mentions it once, we should pay attention. But if he mentions it 7 times, then obviously it is either a problem or it is something that is so important that he wants to emphasize it. "He that hath an ear, let him hear." And so that's what we see with counsel. If God is going to draw up close to us and talk to us, then we ought to give an ear to what he has to say. Now, that same phrase is mentioned by the Lord Jesus Christ about 4 or 5 times, I believe it is, in the Gospels. "He that hath an ear." As a matter of fact, he raised his voice once. And he raised his voice and said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." Turn to Mark chapter 4. Because we're going to see it here in this passage. And verse 20. "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, Is a candle bought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid that shall not be made manifest. That shall not be manifested. Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Same phrase. And he said unto them, Take heed what you hear, with what measure ye meet. In other words, with what meet means to measure. With what measure you measure, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. So he's talking about hearing the word of God. Now you remember that this whole idea of what measure you meet shall be measured to you again isn't just specific to this. He said it in Luke 6 and verse 38 in the matter of giving. Give, and it shall be measured unto you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye mete out, the generosity that you have, you'll receive again. The same measure you mete out, withal shall be measured to you again. Now, we have no problem with that, right? We understand the concept. God gives according to our generosity. By the way, this was also stated in Matthew 7 in verse 1. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And then he goes on to talk about the mote and the beam. So also our attitude towards each other, God will visit upon us by the measure we mete out to others. Now, we understand those things. But here, he's talking about your relationship to the Word of God. His counsel. This is where we started. I counsel thee. And so, you're listening to that counsel. Your hearing of it is going to determine the amount that God's going to give you. Look with me again. He said unto them, verse 24. And he said unto them, Take heed what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. So the amount of truth, the amount of this book, the amount of light, because we're going to look at that candle again, the amount of light that you want. You say, I really am hungry. Like David, as the heart panteth after the water brooks. He was so hungry. My soul thirsteth for thee, O God, in a dry and desert land. And so he so wanted God, hungry for it. He had a huge measure of desire for God. And that applies to you and me in regard to what you do with this book. With what measure you meet in regard to hearing the word of God, it will be measured to you exactly like that. Now, take heed, he said. This is life itself. With what measure? So how is your involvement with this book? How much do you measure out day by day in your life? What place do you give it in your life? Because the measure that you give it in your life is the measure that God will give it to you. But he goes on to say even more than that. Notice with me. Take heed. Now, we ought to listen to that, amen? Evidently, this is important. Take heed what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. God is very generous. Verse 25. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. That scares me to death. I don't know about you. That God would take from us what we have in regards to this book, its effectiveness. I don't know how to even apply that, but that's what he says. To him that hath not. So the person who has left no time in his life, who has neglected his Bible, God says, take heed now, because to those that have not, I'll take even what they have away from them. That's terrifying. Now, he's given us an illustration of this in the verses just up above. Notice with me in verse 21. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? So, we know that this book is light. David said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So we have a lamp for individual steps, and we have a light for the path that we should go. Amen? The two things that the Word of God provides for us. Daily steps, a lamp unto my feet, step by step, a light unto my path. This is the way I should go with these steps. And so here he says, is a candle bought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not on a candlestick? So what he's saying is what we do with the light of the Scriptures. And notice he's put this illustration in between the parable of the sower and the good ground hearer, and this admonition about how he's going to bless according to what you do. So here's this parable sandwiched in between these two statements of the Word of God and what you and I do with it. So, are we setting that candlestick up in our life to where it will affect everything in our life? Now, notice there are two things that can hide the light from shining into our life: the bushel and the bed. The bushel speaks of all that your life revolves around, as far as your business, your everything you need to do. It is the busyness of your life. The bushel is a symbol of that which we must do, correct? We must feed ourselves. We must go to work. We must do all of these things. The bed is all that is pleasurable, all that is easy, all that is what we choose to do. We don't choose to... We have to go work the bushel, but we can get so busy that it pushes out the Word of God in our life. And we can give ourselves to so much of the bed, so much pleasures, that it too can push out the Word of God in our life. So there are two things here that we must be careful of: getting too busy and the Word of God is hid. We put it under a bushel. Now, don't we all have this danger? Life's a very busy place, and we make decisions about what we're going to do with our time. You know, the pastor's been encouraging us to read our Bibles. What's keeping you from it? The bushel or the bed? You say, well, you know, I've just got to go to work. Well, I've just got to go work out in the yard. Well, I've just got to do this. And you've made a decision. you have made a decision to put that light under a bushel for that day. And you say, I'd rather go do this, you know. Oh, I'd rather stay in bed for a little bit. Oh, I'd rather just read this book. Oh, I'd rather watch TV. Oh, I'd rather just... You've sacrificed the Word of God, the light, the candle, for your pleasure, which is what the bed stands for. So, you've got a decision to make every day. Whether you're going to hide that light or put it on a candlestick, in other words, give it its place in your life. Now, you think, well, the pastor's been telling me to read my Bible. It's not about reading your Bible. It's about giving the light place in your life. You say, well, I've got to do it. What do you mean you've got to do it? It's not a matter of I've got to do it. The pastor will think I'm a bad Christian. No, it's not about that at all. It's the place you're going to give the light in your soul. Or you're going to put it under a bushel. You're just going to neglect it because you've got so much, because you're so busy and you've got so much to do. Or you're given to pleasures, the bed. One or the other. Notice what he says here, by the way. There is nothing hid which shall not be made manifest, which shall not be manifested. Why would he say this right after this mention of the light? Because God wants to set up a light in your and my soul. For what reason? Because God wants to manifest what you and I really are. And the only way he can do that is by his word. Now, there is nothing hid. Boy, there's so much hidden in these hearts of ours, isn't there? Sometimes we don't even know it. It's amazing how sinful we are. Neither was anything kept secret but that it should come abroad. Now, one day, it's all coming abroad. One day, it'll all be made manifest. But what God would rather do is manifest all of those things here and now so that we can get them right. Amen? We don't want to deal with all that stuff up at the judgment seat of Christ, do we? You can bet the word is going to come there and reveal everything. And we will give an answer for everything. But I'd rather give an answer for it now, wouldn't you? It's going to come out. What we are is going to come out one day. I would rather it come out and me come down to the altar and deal with it right here, or make an altar at my pew and say, oh, dear God, yes, yes, yes. Thank you for the counsel you gave me today from the message. Thank you. Dear God, help me with this sin that is in my life. And if you will give him that measure, guess what? He'll give you more. What does it say in Proverbs? It says the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Now, this is what he's saying. To whom much is given. No, I'm sorry. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And he that hath will more be given to him. That's what it's talking about in that verse in Proverbs. The path of the just, it's light. God brings light into his life, the word of God, and he begins to live in that light. And as he does, he begins to give more and more and more and more light unto the perfect day. God continues to bless him with that light all the way up until the Lord Jesus comes to take us away. Now, that is exactly what God wants for us. I counsel thee. God wants to counsel us. He wants to speak to us. He wants us to listen because there's so much in our life that needs to be dealt with, and he wants to do that here. Do you know what God is doing in these days for you and me? He is fitting us for heaven. Do you know, if you don't like all the means of grace and all these things that we do here, how in the world are you going to be happy in heaven? Amen? I mean, all this is that we're feasting on, and this light and this food and this precious word of God, all of that is just a foretaste of heaven. And folks, if we're not desiring it here, if we're not setting that candle up in our life here, oh my soul, what does that say about us? Are we really what we say we are? I mean, we're going to that light, amen? To the Father of lights. We ought to love it here. Give it a good place in our life. Be careful about the bushel. All that busy about our life, if we're not careful, it'll push out the Word of God, and we will be what? What happens if you put a bushel over, and the only source of light you have in a house is a candle, and you put a bushel over it? What happens? Well, you're in darkness. Or if you put it under your bed, you're in darkness. Whatever decision you make about your involvement with this book, you're just making a decision to be in the light or in darkness. So, am I encouraging you to read your Bible every day? No. What I'm encouraging you to do is to love this book so much and place it so prominently in your life that the blessing of this passage will come upon you. To whom much is given, to he that hath, more will be given. God will bless you, and you'll be that just man in Proverbs that shines more and more and more unto the perfect day. That's what he wants for all of us. God help us, everyone. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these people. Thank you for your word. Lord, help us to listen to your counsel. I counsel thee. Lord, help us to listen and to put your word high on a table in our heart, that it shines everywhere, that we might see what we really are. God, give us your grace and give us more light and more light and more light until that perfect day. In Jesus' name, amen.